Last Wednesday, Christianity embarked on its yearly Lenten journey. It is a spiritual journey. And as is the case with most journeys, there is a beginning, Ash Wednesday, where we reflect on the nature and the destructiveness of sin, and there's a destination, the joyful day of Easter. Jesus made a physical journey from his commitment to ministry at his baptism to the cross and then on to victory over death. And as we look at his life, we can discern some signposts, some events and teachings explaining and guiding him to his destination. Our Lenten journey will examine some of those key signposts. Had Jesus chosen a different road or failed to heed the message of the sign, history would have been changed, not to mention the effect it would have had on our own lives. John Bailey wrote, "I am sure that a bit of the road that needs to be illuminated is the point where it forks. And where the road forks is where there are choices to be made." So as we begin our Lenten journey with Jesus this morning, we will travel with him to the wilderness. In chapter 3, Jesus had gone down to the River Jordan where his cousin John was preaching and baptizing. And John recognized Jesus immediately, not as his cousin, but as the Messiah. And as Jesus came up out of the water, the Spirit of God descended on him, and the voice from heaven declared, "This is my beloved Son." You know, it just doesn't get any better than that. To be singled out and honored as God's anointed. But before they could have a potluck and a party to celebrate, Scripture tells us that the Spirit of God led him to the desert to do battle with Satan. Now, one thing that strikes me when I read that passage is the choice of words Luke uses in his story. He says, Jesus, filled with the Spirit, was led away into the desert to be tempted. That one sentence there is full of wisdom for our lives. Temptation is a fact of life. None of us escape it. The Holy Spirit living inside of us is the strength to overcome it. Those words are probably the strongest sermon I would ever preach. Amen. But don't worry, I'm not done. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, "Lead us not into temptation." Now, he didn't mean that God would ever deliberately tempt us to do wrong. What he was saying is simply that the road of life has its snares and its potholes, and the tempter is always present, ready to push or trip. And perhaps a better way to pray would be to say, "Lead us away from the temptations that are there." We need God's help in order to avoid dangers that surround us and surround anyone who wants to live a good life. For many of us this morning, we need to reword the first step in AA and make it say, "I cannot control the tempter on my own, and my life can become unmanageable." And if you put the first three steps together in a shortened version, it says, "I can't, God can, I'll let God." Sometimes we're a little flippant about temptation. If you remember, Oscar Wilde said, "I can resist anything except temptation." Or I've heard, "Why is it opportunity knocks only once and temptation bangs on the door constantly?" My personal favorite is this one. Many people want to be delivered from temptation, but they still want to keep in touch. Many times we find ourselves enjoying our nearness to the edge. In the past, on this particular scripture rotation, we've centered on the temptations themselves and what they might mean, the areas where we can expect temptation, and perhaps how to deal with those specific temptations. For example, the temptation to turn the stones to bread might have had something to do with Jesus placing his personal comfort before his spiritual mission. Or when Satan asked him to fall down and worship him in return for power and prestige, we might be looking at those temptations that appeal to ego and pride. The third temptation was to throw himself off the temple so God would intervene in a spectacular rescue that would amaze and that would amaze the people and highlight his presence in the world. This one is often seen by theologians as temptations to abandon God's mission or to seek to accomplish it in ways other than God has directed. Others look at this passage and see the temptation to settle for less than we should. We're physical and spiritual beings. Or the temptation to compromise and to doubt God's provisions. And these ideas, I think, are all important and provide ample food for thought. However, today I want to take a bit different road. Those of us who have been followers of Christ for a year or more can look back at significant moments in our lives when we found ourselves at spiritual crossroads and we were called upon to make faith-related choices. That happens because our faith must have an impact on our lives. And if it has an impact, we're going to find ourselves from time to time a bit uncomfortable with certain aspects of society. These become our crossroad moments. It is then we must choose direction. And the Lenten season is a perfect time to confront this question of choices, because it's the season where we remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. It's a time to realign our lives with the Savior who made the ultimate choice, the choice to lay down his life on our behalf. It's an appropriate time to consider making some tough choices for our own faith. Now, the first point for consideration is obvious, very obvious. Life is full of choices. Amen?
Amen.
We make choices every day. Some of our choices are trivial. When I'll get up, what I'll wear, what TV program to watch, when and where to eat. Choices that may not have any lasting impact on our life and that we'll probably have to make again tomorrow. Those are not the choices we're going to talk about. When we arrive at a spiritual crossroads in our life, we must wrestle with, sort out, and consider options in order to make the choices that will affect us, those we love, and sometimes people we have never met. An amusing sign in front of a service station reads, "Come on in. Let us shock, tire, break, and exhaust you." Now, if that's what Satan had in mind in the three temptations that are recorded in Luke and again by Matthew, he was in for a rude awakening. Because when the choices were placed before him, whatever they are supposed to mean, Jesus didn't hesitate. He was ready with the choice and the justification for making the choice. Most of the time when we have trouble making good choices, it's because we have trouble deciding what's most important. You remember the news out of San Antonio several years ago about the woman who accidentally locked her 10-month-old niece and the keys in the car in August with the temperature at 99 degrees. And then she got mad at the rescue worker who broke the window to get the baby out. For most of us, there is no choice here. Which is more important, a car window or a baby's life? But apparently, she had a little trouble deciding. In reality, most of the choices we make in life are not between what is trivial and what is important. Rather, most of the serious choices we make are usually between what is important and what is more important. And sometimes that's decidedly difficult. Now, I want you to know that anything I do, any choice I make, given enough time, I can justify. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. The rule of thumb should be the same as Jesus' rule when we make choices. Which choice puts me most in line with my commitment to live God's will? Do I need to say that again?
Yeah.
Which choice puts me most in line with my commitment to live in God's will? Life is full of choices. The choices we make are based on what we believe to be the most important. At the age of 25, champion racing cyclist Lance Armstrong was diagnosed with advanced testicular cancer. With aggressive medical treatment, Armstrong's cancer went into remission. And at first, he responded to this good news by becoming very self-indulgent. He decided to live every day as though it were his last. And he stopped working and training. He gave up most of his responsibilities and spent his time playing golf and drinking beer. And one day his wife, Kristen, confronted him and asked him to decide if he wanted to spend his life playing golf and drinking beer, or did he want something more? And her pointed question forced Armstrong to consider the purpose of his life. And he chose to return to training. And you know the rest of the story. Hear me. When life is difficult, it's easy to find ourselves in limbo. And it's easy to try and escape by not choosing at all. But I remember a rather convoluted sign in the library at Eisenhower High School where I taught, and it read, "Not to choose is to choose." In our choices lie our destiny. Who we are and what we've accomplished in life 10 years from now will be decided by the choices we make today. We try to beat that into our kids, but we need to listen to what we say ourselves. Noah chose to build the ark in the face of ridicule and harassment. He lived, and everyone else drowned. Daniel chose to pray at the risk of execution by feline carnivores. Stephen chose to speak out for God despite the risk of a rocky avalanche. In the spiritual realm, no choice is more crucial, more central, or more influential than our choice to follow Christ. It will affect our priorities, our values, our plans, and our attitudes more than any other choice we will ever make. Now, we may have all made some bad choices in the past. The season of Lent reminds us that there are still more choices to make, and we will make them based on what we give priority in our lives, and in those choices lie our destiny. There's a story about two young brothers who were caught stealing sheep. The punishment back then was to brand the thief's forehead with the letters ST, which stood for sheep thief. As a result of this, one brother left the village and spent his life wandering from place to place, indelibly marked by disgrace. The other remained in the village, made restitution for the stolen sheep, and became a caring friend and neighbor to the townspeople. Near the end of his long life, a stranger came to town and inquired about the ST on the old man's forehead. "I'm not sure what it means," a young man replied. "It happened so long ago, but I think that the letters must stand for saint." In our choices lie our destiny. Now listen up. As Christians, we have a major life choice. It is a choice that occurs over and over again throughout our lives. We can lay down the cross that we've been given to bear and passively live life with no challenge to change, or we can pick it up and carry it and be transformed, living for something greater than ourselves. The choice is ours. Which brings us to this week's moral observation: between two evils, choose neither. Between two goods, choose both.
Turning your hymnals to number 73. If I could stand and stretch, that'd be wonderful.